Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. There are a lot of dams in America, more than 90,000 according to the National Inventory of Dams. Oregon has more than 850, 68% are privately owned. The Winchester Dam near Roseburg is one of the state's oldest at 134 years old. We recently talked with a representative from the Flowing Forever Foundation about a dramatic series of problems surrounding the Winchester Dam and its pending removal. Today, our guest is Jim McCarthy, the Southern Oregon Program Director at Water Watch of Oregon. Welcome to the Exchange, Jim.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you heard our conversation with the Flowing Forever Foundation, which manages the website winchesterdam.com. And you wanted to provide more information and clarity surrounding the Winchester Dam controversy. But for folks who know nothing about this story, let's go back to the beginning. When was this dam built and why?
It was built in the 1890s as part of the process of settling the Umpqua Basin when European American settlers coming into the area. It was the first hydropower dam put on this river, and it was used actually as a source of water for the city of Roseburg and a source of power until the early 20th century. It was owned by PacifiCorp until the 60s as a hydropower dam, and then the 1964 flood destroyed it, essentially. At least economically, it was no longer economically viable after that event. And so the dam was given away for free to the landowners around the reservoir pool. So this is actually somewhat of a common event in Oregon. Your listeners may be familiar with the Gold Ray Dam on the Rogue River, or rather I should say the former Gold Ray Dam. This was also a dam owned by PacifiCorp, an early hydropower dam. It was given away by the utility company to Jackson County. And then it essentially worked as a liability on the county because they couldn't figure out a way to run it and make money. And so it was actually removed in 2010 with funds from the Obama stimulus package from that era. So this is an old hydropower dam. It's now functioning only really as a poundment for a water ski lake. Again, it serves no power, water supply, or flood control function. It's somewhat unique in the state in that it's made up of kind of a hodgepodge of materials. It's got 19th century wood in there. Some of that wood burned down early in the 20th century, and they had to pour concrete abutments over the top of that debris. Because they did that, the south abutment, which is what people can see most prominently when they visit the dam, is a large concrete block on the south side. That's actually not founded on rock. It's founded on river sediment. And so this has been a significant concern because it's undermined at the foundation. The crib dam itself, the wooden crib, it's called a crib, it's full of holes. These attract fish, which jump against it and are delayed, injured, or killed. And so it's been a major source of concern for fishermen and river lovers for, well, at least ever since the dam was taken over by the private landowners. And it's been a number of efforts over the years to have the dam removed, and we're in the midst of what we believe is a final effort right now.
So, Jim, let's talk about the transfer of ownership. The dam was built 134 years ago, and today it's in a state of disrepair. But what's been the ownership transition over that time, and who owns it now?
There was one or two gentlemen who built the dam in the 1890s, and then it was, you know, it was lower then. It was only 4 feet high or so, and it was essentially a wing dam, meaning it didn't really fully cross the river. And then there was a number of different owners over the years that built it up. And around World War I is when it reached something like its current height. There have been additions since then. For example, in the 1970s, they put a concrete cap along the wooden crib top. But it was owned by the predecessor of PacifiCorp, now Pacific Power and Light, it was called back then. And this is a common thing that PacifiCorp does, is they have, you know, given away their dams for free, essentially, to have them owned or removed. I mean, essentially, that's what occurred in the Klamath. It required a FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, order, but PacifiCorp essentially gave their dams away for free to the Klamath River Renewal Corporation, and then that entity removed the dams.
Are you saying that a public entity gave the dam away for free to a private entity?
Well, it's PacifiCorp is a for-profit utility company. It's publicly regulated, so it's a publicly regulated utility. But essentially, it's considered private to private, is my understanding. But what happens when you give a dam away like this dam? So when it was a hydropower dam, is regulated both by the state on some elements and on the federal government on other elements, particularly the hydropower. And now it's owned by what's called a water control district. So it's a special district under state law. It's a quasi-government, and it has the power to levy fees for payment of the purposes of the water control district. In this case, the district purpose is to own and maintain a dam. And they're doing a very poor job of maintaining it, but they do that. They own and maintain it, and they're able to do that through this quasi-government. There's something like 105 landowners in there on 200 parcels, and so they collect fees on an annual basis, and they about every 3 to 5 years they repair the dam, which is in what's called a state of dynamic deterioration by engineers. So it's well past its useful life. The intention of its builders for its lifespan.
So Oregon, the state of Oregon, rates the dam as high hazard. What does that mean?
High hazard is a rating of what would happen if the dam would fail, not whether the dam will fail. So high hazard is they have a number of different rating levels. High hazard is the highest. So that means that the state does expect, based on modeling and analysis, that if the dam fails, there will be loss of property and life. And so in this case, you have a dam that's relatively large. It's 450 foot wide, 7 feet tall at the highest. It impounds a reservoir about a mile and a half long.
And did you say 7 feet tall or 17?
17 feet tall. I'm
17
sorry.
Feet tall.
Yeah, 17 feet tall, 450 feet wide. Reservoir is a mile and a half long approximately. And there is a very popular boat ramp just downstream called Amaker Park. Because the dam's fish passage is poor, and it's, for this reason, it's ranked very highly in the state's fish passage priority list. These are passage priorities for correction for the benefit of salmon, steelhead, and other native fish. But the dam slows down, injures, and kills fish. And because it slows down these fish, they pool up underneath. It's very popular for fishing below the two overpasses that go over the river right there by Amaker Park. So you have a popular boat ramp, you have a railroad bridge, you have I-5 bridge, you have the Highway 99 bridge, and then, of course, you have private residences along the river below. So for that reason, it's if there was a wave, you know, of water and debris that came down, the state would believe that there would it's reasonable to assume there'd be a loss of life. So for this reason, it faces certain regulations under the state for repair and other things. And that's one of the reasons why it's run into so much controversy in recent years.
I'm talking with Jim McCarthy, the Southern Oregon Program Director at Water Watch of Oregon. You can send your questions or comments to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jim, who are the people on the other side of this dam issue? Who wants to keep the
Winchester Water Control District, you mean?
The Winchester Water Control District. You said that they're a group of about 100 people?
Right. The former president testified in a proceeding over the last concrete spill that occurred in 2018 that there was approximately 105 members in the district. There's roughly 200 parcels These folks have a board of directors. They have to submit reports to the Secretary of State every year about their finances. They run elections through Douglas County, the county they live in. So there's these kind of water districts, you know, irrigation districts are like this too. They run, you know, their elections through the county elections office as a kind of umbrella for all of them. But at the end of the day, this is a totally unique district, and there's no other district in the state of Oregon that was formed specifically to maintain a water ski lake for its members.
So what's been the environmental impact of the dam?
Well, it's had significant environmental impact. There's 160 miles of high-quality habitat above the dam, high-quality, high-elevation, cold-water habitat that very prized runs of salmon and steelhead need to get to and from every year. And so the dam itself is poorly designed for fish passage, fish approach on the south side, and then they have to do the counterintuitive thing of going all the way to the north side along the face of the dam, which is shallow and has all sorts of flows through it because the dam is full of holes. So fish jump at these holes. This has been made, and of course, it's a very old dam, so these holes have exposed metal, eroded concrete, rebar, and they have all sorts of weird contraptions that have been put up over the last 134 years to keep the dam in place. The most recent contraption is this metal lattice that is at the perfect height for injuring fish that jump against these false attraction holes. Once these fish are past, you know, the roughly 300 feet of false attraction that's presented by this leaky wooden crib, then they have to find a fish ladder that has major problems because it has multiple, you know, right angle turns. It has velocity issues. So there is a webcam in that fish ladder. That webcam was put in a couple of years ago and has raised a lot of hackles because on a regular basis, you can see fish struggling to get through. I mean, trying over and over again just to get through one section of the fish ladder. You can also see, you know, coming up on the rainy season here, when the rainy season first starts, you can see the fish ladder literally get clogged with debris and just essentially almost stop flowing. And so this is called delay. Delay is very important to prevent in a river environment, especially as we're facing climate change. The rivers are heating up.
So I understand that the repairs didn't work and a lot of fish were killed.
Yes. There was our estimate was upwards of 1 million Pacific lamprey were killed during the repairs. And the state of Oregon, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, determined that there was in excess of 550,000 Pacific lamprey killed. So this is something that a coalition of us documented last year. We knew this would happen. In fact, we petitioned the state not to provide the kind of lenient permits that were given to this dam repair. That petition failed, but we were prepared to document it. We did, and there was a $27 million fine issued as a result because you were not allowed to kill protected species like Pacific lamprey under state law. And so that is a process that's ongoing right now.
Jim, what's the cost of removing the dam? We're running out of time, but I really want to get to this point. What is the cost of removing the dam, and where's that money come from?
Well, the cost would be around $6 million or so. That money would come from state, federal, and private sources. Water Watch, I do this actually for a living. I removed dams for a living, two last summer, et cetera. It comes from state and federal sources. So the same agencies that regulate these dams do have funds that are available for removal. We did offer in early 2020 to the owners to remove the dam at little to no direct cost to them. That offer still stands. It usually takes about 18 months of permitting and design to get to the point where we can remove the dam. We remove it during the midsummer, and that usually takes just a matter of weeks. So those funds are readily available for removal. And as you've seen in the Rogue, I think I was in there last in July discussing removal we did on Evans Creek, and that was approximately an 18-month process from the agreement with the landowners to the removal of the dam. And that money was provided by state and federal sources as well as some private funds.
So you just need the dam owners to agree to remove the dam, and you can remove it at no cost to them.
That's correct. No direct cost to them except, you know, time signing permits. But yes, we our offer stands to remove that dam for free, and that's something I do for a living with expert crews.
That's all the time we have for the Jefferson Exchange today. Thank you, Jim McCarthy, for offering more insight into this issue. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.